extended period.
Morning, everybody. Well done for braving it. It's cold, isn't it? So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. A couple of brief notices. It's the Christmas jumper service this afternoon. It's at Holy Trinity. It's at 4:30. I've absolutely no idea what it will be like. We've never done it before. It's Samuel's brainchild, and he assures me that it will be brilliant. Good enough? One other thing. Choir practices have started for our Christmas services. So if you're interested in singing and would like to come along to the practices, the next one is at Holy Trinity. It's at 2:00 next Saturday afternoon. And also next Saturday at 10:00 in the morning, there's a group of us who are going to be making Christingles for the Christingle service. So again, if you want to come along to that, there will be coffee and biscuits and fellowship, and that would be a really good thing to do. So you'll be very, very welcome to help with that. So as we sit, let's pray for our children as they're ready to go across the road. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Tiger Club and for all that it is and all that it means to our church here and to you in this place. We thank you for the children themselves. We thank you for the leaders who make it all possible. And Lord, we just ask you to protect them as they travel backwards and forwards, keep them safe and back to us safely. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So let's start our service with our new service sheet. So we meet this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So let's start by singing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn number 347, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. We stand to sing.
Clouds descending.
Dr. O'Neill for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please do sit. So as I said, second Sunday of Advent, and we light our second candle. Lord Jesus, Master of both light and the darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon our preparations for Christmas. We who have so much to do and seek quiet spaces to hear your voice each day. We who are anxious over many things look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy seek the joy of your presence. We are your people, walking in darkness, yet seeking the light. To you we say, Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. A voice cries out in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord. So let us listen and turn to the Lord in penitence and faith. Heavenly Father, you call us to repent of our sins. Soften our proud and stubborn hearts. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you declared the forgiveness of God. Teach us to forgive one another. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, you search our hearts and show us the truth. Direct us in your way of righteousness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive you your sins, open your eyes to God's truth, strengthen you to do God's will, and give you the joy of his kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The psalmist said, How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. May it be so for us now as we hear our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to its completion until the day of Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our collect prayer for the second Sunday of Advent. O Lord, raise up, we pray, your power and come among us, and with great might succour us, that whereas through our sins and wickedness we are grievously hindered in running the race that is set before us, your bountiful grace and mercy may speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honour and glory, now and forever. Amen. So if you'd like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn 150, Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. To thee, O Lord. This is the third chapter of Luke, and we begin at verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise be to thee,
O Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. And as we think on these things, open our hearts and our minds to hear you afresh this morning. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So please do sit down. So lighting the second candle on our Advent ring this morning tells us that we're now well into the season of Advent. I don't know if it's just me, but it feels like most of the set Bible readings for this period push you towards thinking that this waiting period is, at best, a sobering prospect, and at worst, a downright terrifying one. How do we normally react to all this? Well, the temptation is sometimes to feel that we ought to be very busy so that God will notice and be pleased with us. Our Bible readings around this time, I think, can often add to that general feeling of anxiety. There's something scary coming, and we're not quite sure what to do about it. The trouble is, we think we know the end of the story. We think that this time of waiting we call Advent is just a build-up to the joyful time of Christmas. In fact, you could hardly call it a time of waiting at all. Christmas lights and decorations are already on display pretty much everywhere you look. And even Black Friday no longer counts as the beginning of the annual rugby scrum that passes for Christmas shopping. There are no shocks for us. We know what to expect. And when we finish celebrating the birth of the baby, everything will get back to normal again until next year. So who then is this strange, hairy man who comes striding out of the desert, shouting out to all and sundry? Doesn't he know this is a time for holiday and family gatherings, not for angst and unpleasantness? Or does he keep going on about repentance? He seems to have completely skipped over all the bit about the angels and the shepherds. Surely the real point of Christmas, wouldn't you say? He's missed all that and gone straight on to all this stuff about baptism and the Holy Spirit. What's all that got to do with the Christmas story? That's all something else, isn't it? No thanks. Can we please just get back to the baby? So this was John the Baptist. He was a bit like a divine bulldozer. He definitely spoke his mind, and he told more truth than his listeners, or us for that matter, were or are used to hearing. His message was simple. Repent. Do not pass go Do not collect £200. Your time is up. You didn't leave any room for a group discussion. His was a very bald, in-your-face message. But before we just consider the impact of that message for us today, it might be worthwhile if we put it all into context. I say every week just how important context is. And we'll take a look at that powerful message from the prophet Malachi that Sally read to us earlier. This was a message that was aimed at the Jewish nation, the chosen people of Israel. They were a people who'd lived in constant expectation. They were waiting for the day when God's envoy or agent would appear on earth and set the affairs of the world to rights, vindicating those just ones. Those just ones who'd remained faithful to the Lord and to his message given by those very prophets. So in our Malachi reading, we find there's an argument going on between God and his people. And in the verses immediately before our passage this morning, Malachi is telling the people that they have wearied God. And somewhat indignantly, they ask just what it is that they're supposed to have done. Malachi replies by saying that they've called into question God's justice and therefore called into question God's very character. So in this context, the verses that we've just heard are definitely in the nature of a threat. However, for many of us today, it's hard to hear those verses like that, because generations of us will know them only with Handel's music for the Messiah behind them, all sounding very jolly and very Christmassy. If you look at them closely, you'll see that they are in fact a direct answer to the people's earlier question. Malachi tells them that God is a righteous God and that his righteousness will always prevail through his will. We hear that God will send his messenger and the people may well live to regret it. They're looking for the Lord, full of their own grievances, wanting to hold him to account. But they find that it is they who are judged and not God. They're to be purified and refined by fire until they can recognize righteousness again. It isn't God who has changed, but the people. And they must learn again, the hard way, that God is a God of justice. God's message through Malachi could have applied at several points in Israel's history, but John the Baptist's introduction is tied absolutely directly to the coming of Jesus. This moment, and no other, is the moment when all the paths to God are suddenly made straight. There are no more valleys to be trudged through, no more hills to be climbed, no more winding lanes to divert us. God's salvation has come to us as a gift. So that's the context into which the people heard John the Baptist preach. But what of John himself? He was a great figure in his own right and a true prophet, a prophet in the Jewish tradition with a message from God. We know he had a large following of disciples, and many people came out to the desert to hear him speak. And in some ways, the role of John wasn't unlike that of Jesus. Yet, in other ways, it was very, very different. Like Jesus, John preached a message of repentance. Somehow we all seem to recoil at the word repentance. Repentance can sometimes be mistaken for simply going back to one's past, but this time without sin. I think it's a very misunderstood word. It's so much more than just being sorry for the past. Rather, I think it involves a deep and radical change in one's thinking and one's behaviour. And I think perhaps radical conversion would be a better term than repentance. Like Jesus, John too will be rejected, persecuted, handed over, and finally executed for his courageous defence of truth and justice. And John himself goes to some length to emphasise that Jesus outranks him completely. He isn't worthy to untie Jesus' sandals, he said. He's simply preparing the way for the Messiah, the Christ, the Saviour King. Jesus, on the other hand, is the way, the truth, and the life. So two types of people were coming out to see John. There were the ordinary people, genuine penitents, looking for reconciliation with God. Then there were also the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who came out not to express any sorrow for sin, but to test John's orthodoxy and his observance of the law. But John has little time for that second lot. He sees them as much, just as much in need of repentance and conversion as anyone else. They're not to think that simply because they're descendants of Abraham, their salvation is assured. It's not birth, or race, or religious affiliation, education, social status, or financial clout that makes us one with God, but our awareness of our total dependence on him for everything we need. No one is saved simply by being a law-abiding Jew, as the Pharisees seem to think, any more than being a baptized member of the Christian church can alone bring you salvation. Much, much more is expected. Later on, Jesus will say that those who presume they are God's people, but without the actions to prove it, will have to give way to tax collectors and prostitutes, who, because they have genuinely reformed, will go to the kingdom first. If we have a similarly casual attitude to the demands of our faith, we may look on Advent and Christmas as merely memories of past historical events. But Advent means coming. And if this season is to be in any way meaningful, there has to be a genuine coming of Jesus into our lives. At the very least, it's a time to remind ourselves of our constant need for repentance. Or should I say, radical conversion. So if John the Baptist were to come among us here today, what would he tell us? What would he warn us against? Our most dangerous enemy is complacency. Some people might say, I'm a good enough Christian. I'm not perfect, of course. I'm not a religious fanatic, but I keep the basics of my religion. I'm okay. I go to church when I can, and I do all the rest. This is properly dangerous. Where our relationships with God are concerned, to stay in the same place is the equivalent of going backwards. So as we start the beginning of this new church year, where do we need conversion and change in our lives? How can we and our families give better witness to our Christian message? The celebration of Advent, I think, calls for a serious consideration of these questions. So I guess we're all now probably well into our preparations for the celebration of Christmas. Whisper it ever so quietly, but I'm afraid to tell you that there are now only 17 more sleeps until Christmas Day. But what preparations have we made for the time afterwards, for the year ahead? Will Jesus really be part of our whole lives? Will he really be entering our life in a special way at this time? Are his concerns our concerns? And what about Jesus' second coming? His coming as Christ the King. His coming in power to complete the redemption of his entire universe. We can never know when that day will be. But if you knew that today was to be that very day, would you spend today differently? Would you rush out and tell all your friends and neighbours about Jesus? Would you change your television viewing? Would you commit yourself fully to the Lord for the first time? Well then, what if it wasn't until tomorrow? Could all those things wait until then? What if it were next week? Or next year? It's an interesting question to meditate on as we go through this Advent season. One of the most revolutionary things we can do as Christians is to carry this flame of hope out into the world, to play our part in the story illuminated by the knowledge of how it all ends. Just as the people of Israel long ago were told to clear a path for God, to make a way where there appeared to be no way, are we not being told to make a way for God to come into our lives? Are we not being told to remove all the obstacles and all the impediments? To tear down rather than build up walls, to clear out old animosities and grievances, to cut back the weeds of doubt and greed. Not just to make a nice little bed for the newborn baby, but to open up to God's transforming grace, not just for our own lives, but also for the lives of others. So whatever your circumstances, whatever your worries, and whatever your fears, may you be filled afresh from this day onwards with an active hope for this Advent time, as you once again prepare to read and hear and sing the story of outrageous hope which we find in Jesus, the light of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you'd like to stand, we'll affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. If you'd like to please take a seat as we have time now for our intercessions.
Let us pray. Lord, open our eyes to your presence, open our ears to your message, and open our hearts to your love. Open our minds to your wisdom that we may hear and receive your word and to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. We pray for the areas of conflict across the world and the untold suffering of those caught up in wars and insurrections, and we pray that peaceful outcomes will eventually win out. We pray that the politicians across the globe, in countries large and small, in countries that are at war or at peace, will make their difficult political decisions with wisdom, and not just for the benefit of their people, but for the benefit of the people of the whole world. Give them your guidance, Lord, to make the right decisions. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for our ministry team of Samuel, Graham, Mary, David, and Linnea as they prepare for this busy time of services and events, all to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surround them with your love and give them strength and renewed energy. We give thanks for those who share their lives with us, our families, our friends, and our neighbours, and we pray for those that we know who are finding life difficult or distressing. We pray also for relationships that have run into problems, that have been strained and stressed by the demands of modern day living. Give them strength, Lord, to take a moment to look for you and embrace your love. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for all those who've enriched our lives by their presence and for all those who've enriched the world by their actions. We give you thanks for all who've been a strength and a support to us in our lives and all who have transformed our lives by their words and deeds. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all those we know who are ill, for all whose sicknesses have no cure, and for all who are facing another year of living in pain. Give them strength, Lord, to cope with the difficulties that they face, and we ask that you help them in their recovery. We pray for all those known to us who are suffering, both physically and mentally, at this special time of year, and we bring them to you now, Lord, in a moment of silence, with our own thoughts and prayers for them. Lord, in your mercy. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, come into our hearts and fill us with your love, and let the world not lose sight of the real reason behind the festivities and celebrations. And with families and friends travelling to be with each other at this time, Lord, we ask that you will be with those who are not able to be with us, Lord, and that you will be with us, Lord, wherever we are. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So as we move into the liturgy of the sacraments, it's time now for our peace. So would you please stand? May the God of peace make you completely holy, ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And
also with you. Let's share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're standing, we're singing our third hymn, which is hymn number 192.
Twenty-eight adults, two children.
The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We sit on you for our prayer. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. And now we give you thanks because in his coming the day of our deliverance has dawned. And through him you will make all things new as he comes in power and triumph to judge the world. And so we join our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven to proclaim your glory, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Who, in the same night that he was betrayed, in the same way after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Praise to you, Lord Jesus, dying. You destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption as we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. We say together the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The blood of Christ, the gift from heaven. Father in heaven, who sent your Son to redeem the world and will send him again to be our judge, give us grace so to imitate him in the humility and purity of his first coming, that when he comes again, we may be ready to greet him with joyful love and firm faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please do sit as the children regale us with what they've been up to.
And so, we were learning about preparing for Christmas and how we needed to be ready for like the Advent season. And we made these stained glass windows.
Well done, kids. Time then to sing our last hymn, I think, which is hymn number 520. Tell out my soul. So we leave this place with this blessing. So the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle you in the faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. So go in peace, to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.